We try to play with great pace. We try to play with great pace. Ran a lot of pick and roll, pick and pop type actions. Oh, you'll see us play. Some people look at the guy next to him and say, what the hell was that shot? Hell, I could have been Gronk before Gronk was Gronk.
And welcome back to another episode of Bangarangs and Daggers. As always, I'm one of the co-hosts out here in Washington, D.C., Kevin Knight. And we happen to be doing something a little bit different this week, not just reuniting the three-man weave for this episode, but we're also trying it on video so you can see all of our not attractive faces. How are you guys doing tonight? Because with me, as I said, is the three-man weave of Patrick and Nate.
I'm good. How are you?
I've had better weeks, you know.
I think we all have had better weeks.
Yeah, Nate's got the Lord and Savior above him, along with a party hat.
This is my daughter just had a birthday, and I think this is a troll. Okay. A what? A troll something. Troll, I don't know. Headband. Sorry.
Looks like troll headband.
Yes. So there we go.
Very nice.
Looks a lot better than what I'm wearing.
Ooh. I didn't even notice that. I was surprised. I was surprised. I didn't notice.
Hey, if I'm going to be on a Nebraska ball podcast, I'm going to Nebraska ball. Yeah. Although, actually, this is not my Nebraska basketball shirt. That one's long sleeve, and I'm not about to wear that in the middle of an 80-degree summer. Actually, probably 90s. Yeah. Say, I don't know. Whatever. It's too hot.
So it's hotter than hell out right now. It's muggier than hell here in Nebraska.
I bet
it's pretty nice outside. It is pretty nice outside.
I'm sure you're muggier. Oh, really? I haven't been out in a couple hours.
Yeah, anyways.
So, oh, sorry. Go ahead.
No, I just, is there anything going on in the sports world? You know, any basketball stuff? Because guess what? I've written more basketball or football articles in the past 2 weeks than I had probably a month before that.
The past week I think I more than quadrupled my quota for summer articles for Coronation.
it's
a busy time of year considering we've got football right around the corner and we will not be playing football, and on top of that we may not be playing basketball anytime soon, depending on how things go with football and the fall sports. And Kevin, what did the Pac-12 do that really kind of threw everything for a loop, or could throw everything for a loop?
They joined the Ivy League, among others that I don't really remember who else or particularly care about because they're unimportant, in pushing all 2020 sports to at least January 1, 2021. Because 2020 can't come over fast enough. We already are talking about 2021 timelines now. But yeah, no, that's all sports, not just fall, not just cross country, not just women's volleyball, not just men's and women's soccer, not just football, but winter sports too, including men's, women's basketball. I guess some schools have a hockey team in the Pac-12, although they're not actually Pac-12 affiliated. I wonder how that's going to work out for Arizona State. I think about that. That would have been something for me to research.
That's okay. But no, I mean, like, those practices are right around the corner. They start in October. It's about a month and a half away when those practices start up. So they're not going to happen. And a lot of those teams in the Pac-12 are playing other teams across the nation, including Big Ten. You've got Iowa, you've got Wisconsin, you got Ohio State, who are going to be either playing them in the non-conference or in possible, non-conference tournaments that will be coming up if they don't get canceled because they're all in the South. So, COVID might blow up and they may not happen anyway. But that could really throw a wrench into the system if the Pac-12 can't play basketball. There's only, I think, Nebraska and a handful of other schools have released their non-conference schedules. They've got about 10 games scheduled right now, and I think that's what they're planning on doing. But this could be a problem moving forward if the Pac-12 does not play basketball early on. So, you know, the Big Ten, I don't even think has touched it because the Big Ten doesn't have a plan for football yet, let alone any other sport moving forwards. So, I mean, Nate, you're insightful on this. What are your thoughts?
A lot of basketball happening. I guess the difference between football and basketball would be the amount of players that you're going to have to test and keep safe and all that. But you're also dealing with 130 in basketball, 130 teams, right? Ish or something like that. So
137.
So, you know, and there's the chance, I mean, you would love to have some leadership, you know, maybe at the NCAA level or something like that, that said, okay, these are the protocols you're going to have to follow. Unfortunately, though, is that if that requires a ton of testing, which it probably would, then that costs money. And when you don't have – a lot of these schools aren't going to have football where a lot of them get, you know, a lot of their money, then they're not going to be able to afford the testing. I think I heard today that I shouldn't have brought it up, but a group of five football team said they are going to – they will lose less money by not playing than by playing. And so, I mean, that just shows you the state of the economics for those schools. So, I mean, we're – you know, Nebraska is going to lose, you know, they think over $100 million. And so the idea of being able to do adequate testing and all that, I don't know. I mean, Nebraska's in a pretty good place, I think, financially, compared to a lot of other schools. So, but if you can't test the kids, then I think then you just can't play. And so I guess if you can find a way to – maybe there's going to – I heard there's a test coming up. I read that's you get results in 20 minutes and it's going to be really cheap. Now, is that going to show up before November? Yeah, probably not. So, I don't know.
I mean, it's going to be tough because you have – I mean, Oregon State already came out today or yesterday stating that they are most likely going to look for loans to help get them through this next year. I mean, they're the first college to really say that. And they're a Power 5 conference, the Pac-12, don't get me wrong. They don't get nearly the money, let's say even the ACC gets. But they're still a major university in a fairly large, decent-sized state and a power conference that is openly looking for loans. Now, don't get me wrong. This is if you're going to look for a loan, interest rates are great right now. But for a university to come out straight up and say, we need money this desperately, this early on, without really having any plans for the conference, tells you a lot and tells you their confidence moving forward with what's going to happen over the next, let's be honest, the next at least a year, let alone the next 6 months, which is what we're just trying to get through right now.
Definitely. I think part of the problem, too, isn't necessarily just testing in my mind. I think part of it that probably factored in more largely in the Big Ten decision and especially the Pac-12 and other conference decisions is just the fact that we know so little about long-term effects of COVID-19 combined with the fact that we don't have any particularly for sure effective treatment right now for those suffering particularly bad symptoms at the moment. Obviously, I'm sure everybody's well aware by now of the Indiana offensive lineman who's having absolutely awful side effects from it. Who, according to him, followed general protocols and generally had testing at Indiana widespread among players and whatnot. And he still ended up catching it and having awful side effects from it. Until we have something to do that, I think we're going to end up seeing the type of heavy online classes and unfortunately lack of sports like football until we have that. Doesn't necessarily even need to be a vaccine, I don't think. Though obviously a vaccine would be great, but I mean, until we at least have something that can treat it and better understand whether or not it's actually long-term high risk or not being exposed to it. Till then, I think this is unfortunately going to be the new normal, it seems like, to use the cliche, of course, but.
And we're probably going to be going, we're probably going to be walking blind through the woods for the foreseeable future in regards to this on what's the right thing to do, not just in name of the athlete's health, but also the health financially of the universities and the towns they're housed in. It's, we're not going to have an answer. Kevin, I think you hit the nail on the head when you said, you know, we're just looking for treatment right now. We're hoping for treatment. Vaccine is probably far enough down the road that we shouldn't even be worrying about it in terms of how to move forward. You know, I mean, the treatment, you know, pray for a treatment and hope God, I mean, at least in the next year or two, a vaccine. I mean, there's plenty of viruses out there that we've had for decades that we don't have a vaccine for. You know, whether that's because of funding or research or whatnot, this could very well take a while to have a vaccine.
Yeah, I mean,
we need to make this a new norm. I mean, people keep saying the new norm. We need to really buckle down and make this kind of our new norm just so we can function for the foreseeable future. Because right now, I think a lot of people are hoping stuff is going to happen to make other things work. Does that make sense?
Yeah, I mean, I think the number of diseases we've actually successfully eradicated as a human race is either 2 or 3. I don't remember off the top of my head. I think it's closer to 2. There's some that we're very close to eradicating, including diseases such as polio that we don't really think of much anymore, but they still exist, and we still haven't actually successfully eradicated them. So something to bear in mind in terms of the idea of, well, until COVID-19 goes away, it's not necessarily going away. It's just we need to be able to have a way to fight it better as a human species. More so.
Sorry, Nate, your turn. Yeah,
no, I think my guess as far as the best option or the best – most optimistic view of what's going to happen. So I think basketball is going to be canceled. I think football in the spring is not going to happen because of the factors that came into what I believe that came into the decision for the Big Ten to cancel and the Pac-12 to cancel is, you know, if one of them, he said, Commissioner Warren, David, the BTN guy,
David Repstein. Mispronounce it and you ever listen to this, David.
I'm sure no one's ever mispronounced his name before. And but you know, he brought up the myocarditis or whatever, you know, the heart condition issue. And Warren said, well, that's, you know, that's a small part of it. And so yeah, and it's scary. I mean, it's scary to ask kids to go and play a sport, and then, oh, by the way, you might have, you know, heart issues for the rest of your life, you know, and the thing is that's not going to go away in the spring, you know, and that's not going to go away when basketball shows up, you know. I would hope maybe we can find out a reason why, you know, I don't know the percentages of COVID have that heart issue. The guy from Indiana is an offensive lineman. I mean, I don't know. Did he have high blood pressure, you know, hypertension? I don't know. You know,
he's maybe got bad knees. I guarantee he's got bad knees.
Yes. And bad knees might be the defining factor in whether you're going to have heart issues. You know, no, I'm joking. But at some point you're going to have to make a decision, or people are going to. And at this point, the Big 12 is trying to go forward, and the ACC and the SEC, because you're going to cancel football for a whole year. You're going to cancel basketball for a whole year. If we're not expecting a vaccine, and even if they come up with a vaccine, who knows if it's going to be widely distributed by that point, are you going to want to then cancel again? You know, and because the same issues are still going to be there, the heart issues, the concerns about being, you know, hurting your grandparents or your parents who or anyone else who has, you know, any prior medical conditions, it's still going to be there. And so that's a society, I guess. We're going to have to make a decision. You're going to have to, because it's there's risk either way. Because if I don't know, I think if Nebraska is going to lose $100 million north of that, by canceling one football season, what's going to happen if you're going to cancel two? I mean, what's Lincoln going to look like? And people like, Adam Rittenberg kind of just says, oh, it's only one season. Don't worry about it. Yeah, but guess what? You're not the one who owns a bar or a restaurant. You're not trying to feed your kids. But then on the other side of the coin is you have kids that you're putting in harm's way in a sense, because and my whole issue, or I have several issues, but is they're still having kids on campus. And from what I've talked to someone who knows the head of intramurals in Nebraska, they're still planning on having intramurals. So it's kind of that's the frustrating part to me is, you know, why, but anyway, so I'll get off my whatever it's called.
I totally get that argument on it. And actually it sort of borders with another argument that I've seen a lot of people make, not necessarily in the Nebraska fan base, but nationally and among other fan bases in particular, is sort of a talk of, we'll just shut down campus and only bring football players back. Universities make more money on the academic side, and particularly in the Big Ten, from research grants that require them to be a university. It's still technically student athletes at an academic institution, not a pro sports institution. It's not the NFL. It's not the NBA. You can't take all the players and go put them in hotels in Orlando and get them to play football as much as we would all love to. I'm sitting here as somebody who really is extremely sad that we're not going to have football, but this is still university-led programs, and the point of them is to be a university, and particularly with the Big Ten, if they don't have things like students studying there, including on campus, because you can't only bring football players back to campus. You can't – they're not doing absolutely everything for classroom-wise online, not absolutely everything. There's still quite a few classes happening – either smaller under 50 with social distancing, labs, et cetera. I mean, it varies by institution, and there's 14 institutions. I'm not going to rattle off every single school's policy and whatnot. But point being, I mean, there's no way to really properly socially isolate the football team, nor realistically should there be, because they're students first, as much as we love them on the football field. And the universities are going to lose more money if they don't have something resembling a normal academic semester. Now, having said that, the fact that they're still going to do things like intramurals is just ridiculous. How can you say out of one side of your mouth, it's too unsafe to have this with widespread testing and all these safety protocols, but then we're just going to have intramurals? At least on the one side, you're trying to mitigate risk. On the other one, you're just saying, well, college kids are going to be college kids, and they're going to go out and get a DUI when they're JT Barrett and have Cardale Jones have to get called to come give them a ride, which is the thing about institutional control is look at Rutgers over the summer. You know, they all went to a house party. So the idea that college kids aren't going to be college kids, especially when you're talking about 130 kids on a football team on average, or 120 or whatever the average roster size is, somewhere in there. And obviously Nebraska is even bigger and other schools are slightly smaller than that. But, you know, the biggest problem with football in that sense is the roster size and the bigger risk. The thing about basketball, though, that while I'm saying that, now I'm going to literally sound like a hypocrite flipping the argument on the other side, is the possibility of having a bubble for college basketball is a little bit more realistic, particularly if you have a delayed season like the Pac-12, because everybody's looking at doing online only for the most part after Thanksgiving, of sending students home for Thanksgiving break and saying, stay home, we're going to finish the last 3 weeks. And then, you know, who knows what they do in January. If they stick to that, it's easier to get 10, 15 kids in a more isolated setting necessarily. You're still not going to have institutional control, but it's going to be a lot easier to mitigate risk when you have so many fewer players on a roster, at least. So a little bit now, more of a bubble, but not an NBA bubble. That's not going to be realistic.
Now, let's speak of bubbles. because the NBA is, along with the NHL, doing a bubble system, and it has been fairly successful so far. And there are talks, Big East being one, and a couple other conferences, and I think the Big Ten's even looking into it, having their own bubble system. Now, how would a bubble system work in college? NBA makes sense. You take all the teams, you throw them down in Florida, you put a literal bubble over them. You don't let them leave unless they want wings at a strip club. And
which supposedly are some of the best wings they've ever had, according to Johnny Manziel. Go ahead, Patrick.
Yeah, we're going to take the recommendation of Johnny Manziel. If I want DMT and stuff like that recommendations, I'll go to him. But with that said, the idea is that you do have some places in the United States that could probably hold a handful of teams within a conference. Let's say the Big East. There's what, 8 teams, 10 teams in the Big East? Something like that?
Something like that,
I don't know.
Yeah.
I can't remember. I know Creighton. I know Villanova. And then, you know, a bunch of East Coasters. So, no.
The Paul's on the East Coast.
It's east of here.
Oh, come on. It's Chicago.
If we're flyover country, they're east. There you go. Anyway, but what they're looking at doing is places such as, you know, IMG Academy in Florida, where they can house people and they've got enough facilities to kind of have a handful of teams play there on a regular basis. And honestly, they're looking at the CHI center in Omaha as a possible place to do one of these bubbles. Now, how do you do a bubble when you've got kids going to college at a university and you take them away? You'd almost have to make it to where they have no choice but to do online learning. Now, none of the articles or any of the talking heads that I've heard or read has really gone over this. I mean, there's a lot of little what, how do you make this work on an academic setting, especially considering, you know, you look at the Big East, they are full of very, very good, prestigious academic institutions. They're not going to just let 15 players vanish for 3-4 months to play without some sort of academic guidance. And especially considering they're going to, you know, if they do the bubble system, they're all going to be off campus. They're not going to be sitting, you know, in, you know, Marquette, you know, Milwaukee, you know, going to class during the day, playing two games a week. They're going to be gone. They could be in Florida. They could be in Omaha. They could be in New York if they decide to, you know, put one there. But, you know, the bubble system for the college is a possibility, and it's a good way to mitigate risk in terms of keeping these kids safe from COVID. But the realistic implementation of it still has a lot to work through. You know, similar to what spring football has. You know, I know the Purdue coach put out his idea for spring football, but you know, I mean, everybody's treating that as kind of a last ditch effort. Is the bubble system, is basketball this winter, you know, kind of a bigger what if than people are making it out to be? I mean, what do you guys think?
Hi, this is Scott Galloway, professor of marketing at NYU Stern School of Business and host of the Prof G Pod. If you don't know me, the New York Times calls me the Howard Stern of business. Kara Swisher, super friggin' insightful, and Elon Musk, an insufferable numbskull. I think we're going to make up. I think we're going to go somewhere and do ketamine together. Each week on my show, the Prop G Pod, we bring you insights from Blue Flame thinkers, including my nemesis, Adam Grant. Super smart guy. My nemesis because he's really good. Or one of our favorite journalists, Fareed Zakaria. Fareed's a total gangster. Not only that, we provide listeners with a markets-driven episode every Monday. We answer our listeners' questions about business, big tech, and career pivots every Wednesday and get to listen to the sweet sound of George Hahn reading our newsletter every Saturday. That's right. The Prop G Pod is in your feeds 4 times a week. I'm like AOL in the 90s. To resist is futile. Put your hand into a box of cereal. Is it a tasty, sugary snack? Nope. It's the dog.
I think, because like Kevin was talking about, you know, you can't have every student do remote learning and then all of a sudden require the football team to, you know, be on campus, essentially. I would think it's almost the same for bass. I mean, it's almost they're kinds of oranges, but it's almost like, okay, well, now they're basketball players, so they have to do remote learning. And by the way, we're going to house them in, you know, downtown Omaha or maybe Chicago, or that's probably not a good place. But, you know, and making them play in a bubble, I just – To me, that you better. I don't know. I mean, I love basketball. I love college basketball, and it just to me, it seems like that is asking a lot of these kids to give up. Because one of the parts about being a college student is going to college and going to classes, and you know, meeting people and all that stuff, and you're taking that away from them. I know it's only for maybe 3 or 4 months. Maybe if they were to condense the schedule, you know, I would that would be more persuasive for me. Because back to what my point is, you're treating them differently than regular students. But then the reality is they are different, you know, just like football players, they are different. They're not, you know, student athletes are different. You know, they're not just students, they're student athletes, you know. If they could, I don't know. I don't think they'd have to. I don't know. You know, it's like one of those things. What, you know, I sure hope someone's talking about it.
Nate, you seem super flustered.
I just, this whole thing is, you know, I just wish that there was someone coming out like the NCAA saying, okay, this is our plan and this is how we're going to do it. Or maybe these are 3 plans that we have or we're looking at. And, you know, based off of these numbers, we're going to do this. You know, like, I don't know, the high school here, they said, all right, well, because, you know, and I don't know about Washington, D.C., but in Nebraska, at least in my area, there's like the meter, you know, colors. And the school came out and said, okay, if we're in yellow, we're having 100% online, or sorry, 100% kids in school. If the meter moves this way, then things change. If they move all the way, then things change even more, you know. So it's like, I don't know. I just want someone to say something or say, okay, this is the plan. Because guess what? When do they start practice?
Generally about October 1, roughly, give or take. I'm not sure the season, the exact date, but around then every season.
Yeah. So I sure hope that they're starting or they're thinking about it. I mean, you know, I don't know. I mean, I was on the Five Heart podcast last night for an hour and a half, and so maybe that's part of my flusteredness. So,
I think it's a little bit of a different perspective for me, in the sense of the frustration with the lack of a plan. In that, I do see a lot of people going out complaining about, you know, you've had 5 months to decide, figure this out, like, why don't you have a plan? You had 5 months. And I mean, my husband works in higher ed administration, and he has to deal with the fact that literally every guidance they get from experts even changes almost daily. And I mean, he puts in so many hours working from home, and it's like a week later, you generally have to just throw out half of what you were working on the week before. So as frustrating as it is to us with a public standpoint looking at it, you know, and it's like there's so much money and there needs to be a solution. Why aren't they figuring it out? I don't think personally it's actually for a lack of trying by most people. I think honestly the NCAA has come out with guidelines here and there periodic. I mean, I did an update on them a couple of weeks ago for the Only Colors, and it was the third round of them. And I mean, were they particularly thorough? Did they help with figuring out a season? Did they, I mean, they weren't as strict as the Big Ten regimen when the Big Ten came out with that, when they came out with the new schedule, talking about testing protocols and what do you do if somebody gets sick and this and that. But I mean, they're still working on them and they're still putting out updates as new things come along. So the idea that they're doing nothing, which you guys didn't say, but is being talked about by a lot of people of general frustration, basically, I feel like it's not the case at all. They're busting their butt at schools and even I'm sure in the Big Ten office and in the NCAA office. It just doesn't look like that to us. But it's hard to do it when everything changes every other week.
Yeah, so then what I would say about that is tell us. You got to communicate better. You got to say, okay, this is, you know, like you said that Brad had been working on something for a long time. something changed. Let's say Brad was the head of the NCAA, and they were working on something for 2.5 months. Then all of a sudden the experts changed their mind, said, okay, hey, public, by the way, we were working on this. COVID changed, or the information we received has changed. This is now we have to essentially start over. Because I think that's part of the problem. Just from my viewpoint, is the lack of information. And I mean, there's a lot of people, like, it's not just Nebraskans, or not just, Nebraska. It seems like, the Iowa parents are upset. And I just don't know why Warren just can't come out and say, okay, this is where we're at. This is why we're doing it. And I don't know if he's getting some advice from some attorneys or something saying, I wouldn't say a word, just don't say a word. Just wait for it to blow over. Because it's just, communication helps a lot of things. It doesn't mean I have to like the result. It doesn't mean that, I have to agree with everything, but at least tell me why. And so if they're working on a plan, say, okay, instead of like come out and say, yeah, we're working on this plan. It might change. And then, okay, I would be fine with that. Doesn't mean you're not going to get people on Twitter and Facebook and who are going to be idiots, but at least for me personally, it's like, okay, I get it, So, I don't know.
Let's talk about not having a plan. Let's talk about what happened this week and why so many people on the internet and in the media and probably on campuses across the country are so pissed off, mainly within the Big Ten. Now, unlike a lot of Husker podcasts, and I would say sites, period, we're pretty naive when it comes to the makeup and what goes on in the Big Ten. Wouldn't you say, Nate?
Yeah, I think we are.
Luckily for us, I'm dead serious. Luckily for us, we've got a guy who not only knows Nebraska, who not only knows basketball, but was brought up in the Big Ten. And I think one of the main problems is that there's been a disconnect between Husker views, and I'm not just talking like angry, but just kind of how we view conferences, how we view ourselves, how we view football, athletics, academics, and how the Big Ten as a whole views things. And luckily, I mean, I'm talking about Kevin here, because Kevin, he grew up, you were born and raised in Michigan. You're a Michigan State fan, come from a Michigan State family, which, in all honesty, really kind of helps us out. And I think in this podcast, we will get a pretty good idea of civil. We talked about this beforehand. We're not going to have a finger pointing, which honestly, let's be honest, we're probably going to be finger pointing at the end. But just to get an idea of kind of why the Big Ten did what it did, because let's be, and Kevin will, bring this up more, but like, we all think the Big Ten kind of screwed the pooch on implementing this. And the communication was terrible. Everybody admits that. However, the fact that Nebraska really kind of came out and didn't really do anything wrong per se, but they kind of said, we're going to do what we can to salvage. And the rest of the Big Ten kind of sat on their hands and said, well, wait. And why that was acceptable when in Nebraska's eyes, that was not. So, I mean, Kevin, give us kind of an idea or an understanding on why the Big Ten schools acted the way they did.
Yeah, so I think for starters, it's important to set the context for it of the Big Ten. And I mean, there were plenty of people saying this week to a degree. The Big Ten always does things collectively. I think that was probably one of the things that was the most appealing to Nebraska was the fact that, there's no third tier media rights fights like there was in the Big 12. There's no, well, we want to create a Big 12 network and Texas says no, and it's just madhouse. There's always been things like equal revenue sharing arrangements with Ohio State and Michigan with the rest of the conference. That's just always been how it's been, is you work collectively as a conference together to kind of do what you think is in the best interest of all the schools rather than have a more what's best for me approach, which is not to say, by the way, that it actually works that way in practice every single time. I mean, look at officiating in any given game, and you can go off about, you know, this one was rigged, you know, the 2016 Duck game result, that was an extra spot. They were, you know, looking out for Ohio State versus Michigan. There's fights all the time and stuff like that. So, I mean, it's not like it's a perfect relationship or anything. The important thing, though, is when a big decision gets made, essentially the conference just is like, even if there's dissent of, you know, it's 8-6 on the vote of something, but the conference decides we're going to do this, when you leave the conference room, there's no consensus building or anything. It's that's what was decided, and that's what you do, more or less. I mean, a little bit of an exaggeration, hypothetical scenario kind of thing. But I mean, that's basically how the conference has always functioned. And I think looking back on the statement that they gave on July 5th, when they announced that they were moving to a conference only season, I think the writing was kind of on the wall a little bit with what the decision was going to be, which was the statement specifically started off, and I'm paraphrasing, but you can go back and read it yourself if you want, to any listeners. But it's basically saying, if fall sports are to occur, they will occur in a conference-only schedule. And that's it. And that's all that's the option is going to be, because that's what we believe needs to happen in order for player safety, is we've come to the conclusion based on what we've looked at that that's what we're going to do. And then a month later comes along and we finally have the conference-only schedule, and Warren makes this weird, odd unveiling of it, of it gets leaked days before the conference schedule is going to come out as early as tomorrow. And this was on like a Thursday, I believe, that leaked. It might come out tomorrow. Okay, not today. Probably on Monday. Monday comes. It's not Monday. You know, and then finally they end up releasing it at 8:30 a.m. Eastern time. Like, what? Why are we doing this? And they unveil it, and then like 45 minutes later, Warren's finally available for the interview with the Big Ten Network, I think it was. And basically
poor UConn.
Yeah. And just basically comes out and is like, yeah, we canceled the season, or yeah, this is the schedule rather, but we're releasing the schedule, and we did our best effort to try and figure this out, but we're still working on, you know, it's an evolving situation. It might end tomorrow, like we may call it. And for whatever reason, which was not well conveyed, we all agree it was not well done by the Big Ten making the announcement, they end up deciding over the weekend, I think especially the Mid-American Conference canceling really tied their hands to a degree as well. When the MAC canceled, the MAC commissioner literally said, I don't know what the difference is between us and them. When asked, why is it that the P5 conferences like the Big Ten can do this and you can't? I don't know. Kind of makes the Big Ten look like crap. Essentially, because I mean, the MAC is the same as the Big Ten in a large degree. It's the same footprint. It's a lot of the schools that we play in the non-conference. You know, we get some of our coaches from there and whatnot. So that also influenced the Big Ten decision, I think.
So basically what we're kind of looking at is a very old conference with a lot of institutions that have been there for a long time. One way or another, over the decades, these schools have been taken care of by the conference. So no matter what happens, these schools know that the conference will take care of them. It's ingrained in them. It's whether Michigan State, Minnesota, Ohio State, you know, something pops up, things change, the conference will be there to correct it. So they sit back and wait for direction from the conference. That's basically what happened. Now, you've got a school like Nebraska, been there for about a decade, has been on its 10th conference in 25 years. Has always kind of done its own thing even outside of that. I mean, everybody kind of likes to mention, you know, back in the Big 12 days, there was a lot of 11-1 votes. We all know who the number one vote against stuff was. So Nebraska, does not have that. They do not have that institutional knowledge that everything technically should be taken care of. It's kind of a, well, if this is going to hurt us, we got to figure something out quickly. Or if it's not in our best interest, we need to figure out what to do. So when the Big Ten, as we all, I mean, we stated before, we all agree that the Big Ten did not do, did not implement their plan this past week very well whatsoever. This was not done well internally. It was not done well in the media. It was not done well between all the schools within the conference. So Nebraska is, my guess is that Nebraska very early on kind of took fate in their own hands, because they didn't say, they never said they're going to leave the Big Ten. They just said, we're going to do everything we can to move forward with football. Now, Michigan, Ohio State, Penn State all kind of alluded to the same thing in their own special way. Again, all institutions that kind of had a pretty good idea of how to probably formulate it a little bit more Big Ten-ish than Nebraska did. And you also have the fact, let's be honest, Nebraska has not been very good at football, the one thing they were supposed to bring to the Big Ten over the past decade. So the gravitas, as people say, was not there. Like, it's not like it's Bama going, we're going to figure this out ourselves. It was a team that went, that hasn't had a losing or winning record in three years saying, we're going to figure this out ourselves. So that also didn't help. So when all these media pundits across the nation started jumping on Nebraska, it was really easy to do. But let's be honest. I mean, I don't think Nebraska ever intended on leaving the Big Ten. As much as I would love to see them go independent, which will never happen, and would be stupid if they did, Nebraska as an institution, I don't think ever thought that that was on the line. I think that they really were like, you know, if some of those teams want to go play in the spring, good luck, because listening to most people, spring is like a last-ditch effort for football. Like, you could try to make it happen, but let's be honest, you're going to have to start practicing in January. That's the height of cold and flu season. It's not going to be that pretty. So,
and it goes against COVID-19 guidance.
Yeah.
One of the key things is practice outdoors as much as possible. Avoid indoors. Only use well-ventilated spaces if you absolutely have to. There's not going to be a spring season. Who actually thinks that? But that's the decision.
And we can go in more into that if we want, but I mean, I think most of the other podcasts are kind of hitting on why that's a bad thing. I mean, let's be honest, I think all three of us would be shocked if a spring season happens. But, you know, going back to the grand scheme of things, you know, I don't think Nebraska probably acted a little too independently for the Big Ten's taste, but I don't think they acted in the wrong. Especially considering it sounds like the direction from the conference was not good, you know, in the first place. So, I mean, I don't think the internal bitterness between Nebraska and the Big Ten is as strong as everybody's making it out to be, or at least in the long run, it will be. I think the Big Ten does realize where Nebraska sits now, you know, moving forward. I don't think Nebraska is going to be an issue for the Big Ten, but if push comes to shove, Nebraska is independent enough, as I like to say, Western enough, to take matters in their own hands if they have to. Something a school like a Purdue or Indiana would never. So,
you know, one of the things that have been coming out since Nebraska, you know, kind of issued that statement, like Coach Braum from Purdue, when he was interviewed after he had sent out his ideas for spring football. Two things that I got from it was he felt like he had to do that to essentially start a conversation about what spring football is going to look like. And the fact that he feels like he has to do that is very interesting to me. And the other part that he kind of mentioned, but without saying names, and I don't know who he might be talking about, but it sounds like there are some schools in the Big Ten who were not caught up on the protocols for COVID. And maybe that is the big one, maybe the biggest reason why they had to cancel.
Rutgers.
It might have been Rutgers. I mean, you know, they're definitely in a hot spot, and in the Rutgers. They are Rutgers. So, but
I'm sorry. Did anybody else laugh at the Greg Schiano video out today?
I thought it was where, weird.
Yeah, where he was like, you know, we're all.
I quit halfway through. I didn't care.
I mean, just the opening was the part that I want to highlight, where he's like, I know we're all sad we won't have Rutgers football this fall. Who's sad you mean, about that?
The video where he's sitting in a high school stadium addressing the camera?
SHI Stadium isn't that bad. It's not that bad.
He also said he wants Rutgers, or he wants to be one of the best home environments in the country. And I just want to be like, buddy, I guess you better start winning, but then they're still not going to care. So,
Dame Gandolfini's no longer around. The only Rutgers fan I've ever known.
I think the thing that you guys talk about too that I want to highlight, not necessarily as it wasn't blown out of proportion or anything too, but also to kind of get perspective on why I think the rest of the Big Ten reacted the way they did, whether it was fair or not, totally not the topic. I think one of the differences too, though, was a lot of the conversations that happened where it was kind of anti, we don't want to cancel, don't cancel or else. A lot of that was on Monday, particularly from Michigan and Penn State. They joined Scott Frost to a large degree and basically echoing almost exactly what he said. I think there was a little bit of conversation beforehand, not necessarily from anywhere official, but just sort of enough chit chat among the room that was overheard among people of, well, you know, if the Big Ten wants to cancel, then, you know, we're going to look for our own schedule this fall. Like, we're still going to play, which, I mean, Nebraska didn't have clear direction that wasn't going to be allowed from the Big Ten, really. I mean, that wasn't actually that clear from the press release. I just think it's something on July 5th that I mentioned. I just think looking back on it, it probably was the writing on the wall of if, you know, we had to think about it again. You watch The Sixth Sense the second time. I've actually never watched that movie, but I hear the second time so many things make sense. So yeah, it's that kind of situation, so to speak. What was really weird to me after the announcement came out on Tuesday that the season was being canceled was you saw Gene Smith, the athletic director for Ohio State, in interview, walking out to his car. He talks to a couple of Ohio State media reporters who cover the beat, and he basically says, spring season. Like, I'm mad about it, but spring season. That's that. That's the decision. And then you have Ryan Day the next day come out and talk about, and this is where it's a little bit conflicting because I haven't actually had the time or really energy to bother watching the full interview because I saw a little bit of conflicting reports. I saw what ESPN reported, which was basically portraying it as, you know, we're looking at all options, including a non-Big Ten opponents. But I also saw elsewhere other reporters talking about it of, well, screw the decision that we won't play this fall. We'll play Big Ten teams that still want to play. And since then, all of the coaches, including Mel Tucker in his press conference for Michigan State today, said, you know, I'm sad. I wanted to play this fall. I wanted to play. But also, and I mean, even reiterate, I think we had good protocols. I think we were looking out for our players. But at the same time, what else is he supposed to say? You know, I think our medical experts didn't know what they were talking about, and I'm glad that I don't have to take this team out onto the field because with the redone schedule, we were probably looking at 3 wins. Is that what he's supposed to say? So, I mean, really, Scott Frost said what he was supposed to say to a large degree. I think the thing that shocked everybody was the chancellor and president's joint statement afterwards that came out where they said that rather than the athletic staff. If that makes
which
sense.
Really all that did was fuel Nebraska's need for us against them, which we are very, very good at. And that goes back, I mean, honestly, that goes back to way back in the day. I mean, back in the 90s when Nebraska was steamrolling everybody, there was still the general consensus that the national media hated us, wanted nothing to do with us, thought that we were, you know, flyover country, you know, like Sports Illustrated, they can't write a good article about us. So, I mean, it's not like that's anything new. That just fueled fire within Nebraskans that we are united. Our university and athletic department is in one, which is kind of the first time in a long time that that's happened for, you know, even, you know, it seemed like even under Osborne, you know, the university and athletic department were kind of not on the same level at all. And I want to say since, you know, Green came on board, Moose came on board, Frost came on board, you know, the three main, let's be honest, the three most important people on campus, they are kind of all in sync on what is correct, not just for the athletic department, but for the university. And we haven't had that in a long, long time. So as Nebraskans, it just fueled the fire. And when the national media and the Big Ten started, you know, coming after Nebraska saying, you shouldn't be doing this, you should be happy you're here, it was like gasoline on basically just Huskerdom across the nation. So if anything, you know, the Big Ten and national media just basically made things worse for themselves, because the more you hate on Nebraska, the more Nebraskans will fight back. From a bird's eye view, I think it's hilarious, to be honest, because, I mean, we're talking about sports here. So
I'm not going to ever defend anything Desmond Howard ever says, because he's never going to say anything nice about Michigan State. So, I mean, he called us little brother in 2013, and then we stuffed them for negative 48 rushing yards. So, you know what?
You know, for a couple stupid reasons, Kurt Herbstreit was kind of the most hated, I think, ESPN college game dayer in Nebraska's eyes. I think he just got kicked to the curb. Desmond better not show up on campus anytime soon. him and Pat Ford are not looked upon highly, will not be looked upon highly anytime soon in the state of Nebraska. Both of those guys, and I know there's a few others, but Desmond and Pat pop up number one as public enemy number one in the state. So
Nate, if you'll give me 1 second, I just want to make one really quick point, and then we'll go to you. I'm not by any means defending what Wilbin said either, for that matter, but also I think one thing to bear in context as well is these guys are talking heads on national talk shows. Their job is to say outrageous, stupid crap. I doubt either of them even read the statement or saw Scott Frost's press conference. What they saw were headlines about it from other people, and what they also maybe saw were columns like Chattel's piece after the Kevin Warren news broke Tuesday night, where he said, well, you're not going to do that and play in the Big Ten. And then Chattel comes out with, is this the beginning of the end of Nebraska in the Big Ten, and starts off this piece about, you know, we don't need the Big Ten kind of thing. And I'm not like jumping on that of, you know, Nebraska was in the wrong or anything. I'm just saying, like, think about that in context of how the other Big Ten schools saw that. And it's like, whoa, what? You're leaving now? Like, huh? And I mean, that's just, they're going to see the headlines for stuff like that. They don't have time to see all of that.
And guys like Chattel, I like Chattel, but he's been writing that article once a year since we left the Big 12. He's got a soft spot for the Big 8, Big 12, and his history and memories and all his friends there. And I don't think he's ever caught on well with the Big 10. So that's how he writes. Those are his articles. He will come down on the Big 10 saying Nebraska needs to leave, because I honest to God think that just his heart is not in it, thus his writing's not in it. So when something like this happens, he's going to come down on the whole, you know, let's go back to our old conference. Let's say we're sorry. Let's make amends and move forward. And, you know, and he's not the only one, but he seems to be kind of the flag bearer on that movement. So, no, I mean, if you don't read Nebraska stuff on a regular basis, I totally see your point, Kevin.
I think the Big 12 stuff, the reason why we're going to move – first off, no, I don't think anyone really wanted – I mean, obviously people do. Oh, let's just leave Big 10 and go to Big 12. I think the initial thought was that the Big 12's plan was to play all of their conference games, then have each team would have a plus one, which is like, okay, well, Nebraska, I mean, that would fit perfectly. You know, you could be everyone's plus one, you know, and this is essentially, it's a full non-conference schedule. And then all of a sudden, you know, you got all those people talking about that, and all of a sudden it kind of morphs into something different about, oh, let's leave the Big Ten and all that stuff. I don't know. And so, but you know, but
Nebraska was never going to leave the Big Ten.
No, they never, never were.
They never were going to leave. Never wanted to leave.
So, I almost wish Nebraska, Ohio State, and whoever wanted to play still just would have kept their mouths shut. Because I think if they wouldn't have said anything, and I know they felt like they had to because this is kind of a last-ditch effort, is that the Big Ten, and Bill Moose said this last night, the Big Ten's choice to postpone the season to the spring actually tied the hands of everybody. Because if the Big Ten would have canceled the season and said, oh, we're not playing football until next year, then that's a totally different dynamic, because Bill Moose essentially said that, since they're postponing the season till the spring, we can't play football in the fall because that would go against the schedule that's already been set up or whatever, the rest of the conference is playing. And so that was smart by the Big Ten to say, no, we're just going to – that's why I don't think they're even expecting to play in the spring. I think it was a kind of a strategic move and just saying, no, we're just postponing the spring. So guess what? That means you can't play, you know? But what I think the one of the coolest things that kind of came out of this week was how I think it unified the fan base, probably to an extent that I haven't seen since maybe Bo Pelini was hired. You know, when you drive,
everybody likes Dirk. People are liking Dirk again.
I know. And that's the thing. I have my flakes today. And like I said, we appreciate them. I appreciate our local media more now than ever. And it's our local media was like standing up for us, you know, which really surprised me. And a part of that is self-preservation. And they don't, you know, Dirk would have wrote a column saying how Nebraska is stupid and how, you know, the try to play is irresponsible. I mean, people might have burned down the Omaha World Herald building, you know? And I thought it was really cool that, like, I mean, Nate Klaus, who never says anything outside of, you know, these are my articles and this is recruiting, all that. He's like shouting back at national writers. Mike Schaefer does it kind of in a vague way with actually calling people out. But, yeah, I know. I loved it as far as that goes. Hopefully everything just kind of tampers down and then we can just enjoy Cubs baseball.
Well, maybe one of us will, but
Cubbies are going to win the World Series. Cubbies are going to win the World Series.
Yeah, if there is.
I mean, one thing I'd point out too is, I mean, it's not just football, it's all fall sports. We're not going to get cross country in the spring. Most of that roster plays track or participates in track and field, which has a spring season. You're not going to have cross country.
Winter and spring, because it's indoor and outdoor.
Yeah, indoor track in the winter and spring for outdoor. You're not going to have a cross country season. That's gone. You're not going to have a men's soccer season probably for a lot of players because it's going to have the same problem of football of training and timeline for the MLS and whatever the international league draft thingy is. I'm sorry, I don't follow soccer for anybody listening. I just know that the draft deadline is such that, like, you're not going to have them stick around probably, you know? And I mean, how are you supposed to have a lot of these sports starting in March in a conference where in the footprint, most of them still get huge blizzards? Well, I mean, I had a track meet May 1st. It snowed at it. There's no spring there during the college calendar for the most part, right up, you know, to have a full season. So, and I mean, I can't not take the opportunity to swipe at it. Ryan Day's plan is idiotic. I'm sorry. We're not having...
I actually had not seen his plan. So
I just know it involves starting basically January 1, the season.
Do you know why?
Not just practice, but the season. Oh, it's because he wants Justin Fields to be able to play.
And they're a cornerback because he thinks there's a better chance that they'll stay on the team if, they start then, yeah.
Yep. Well, you know what? That's karma. That's karma because he should have sat out last season. So, and hey, it's not like I'm not sympathetic to the players by all means. And I'm obviously somebody who wanted a football season. But you know what? Why am I supposed to feel all that sympathetic for Ohio State missing out on a chance on a national title when I had March Madness yanked out from under me? Do I feel bad for their fan base? Not really. Do I feel bad for the players?
You know why? Because yes. You know why? Because you're a Big Ten loyalist and you root for the conference, something Nebraskans still don't understand.
I mean, in this case, I'm just being bitter. I'm just being bitter about the March Madness being canceled in the NCAA tournament, obviously, because that's my point is, you know, I already had that canceled. So I don't feel a remote shred of sadness for Ryan Day
You should go find a Rutgers fan and commiserate. Go find a Rutgers fan, commiserate.
Why would I do that? We're the only team that hasn't lost to them in football and or men's basketball.
There you go.
Since they joined the conference. The only team.
They were really good last year, though.
They were.
Yes.
And they didn't beat Michigan State, though.
Well, it's because you guys are really good at basketball.
We were a legit national title team.
Yeah, and I keep on seeing my freaking... I mean,
there were a couple in the Big Ten, actually, that were legit national title contenders.
You would have been beat by Kansas.
Ooh. Oh.
No, they have replay now, so they wouldn't add an extra, 15 seconds to the clock? So, yeah.
You know, I went to the Rutgers-Nebraska game last year, and I was like, Rutgers is a lot better than us. I mean, it just you know, you could see, like, a couple possessions, and it was like, this isn't going to be good. We look outmatched physically, you know.
If they had a chance any season coming up, it'd be this season for Rutgers, having their best chance at ending the MSU bragging rights in basketball. So – yeah, maybe it's a good thing we take this season off.
Yeah, but you guys are turning – MSU is turning into the Duke of college basketball with all these huge recruits coming in, so, you know.
Yeah, but it's not starting until 2021. That's why I was saying this season is their best chance because they return a lot of their core talent from last year's team that would have been an NCAA tournament team had it not been canceled and would have ended their drought since, I think, 1991 – was the last time they went. So, yeah. I mean, how do they feel as basketball fans about that? Yeah.
Well, and again,
I feel bad for Ohio State fans or Ohio State players, just not their fans and not Ryan Day. Just for the record. Feel very bad for the players, but nobody else in that fan base.
Anything else?
Boo Buckeyes.
I think we're good. We covered a lot of territory. We got a lot off our chests. I think we were fairly civil because I don't think a whole lot of podcasts this week comes to Nebraska is going to be overly civil. But I think we explained things pretty well. Yeah, exactly. Get angry. So, no, I think this was a good discussion over some very hot topics that happened this past week. And we talked about basketball.
Please, for the love of God, don't cancel basketball again.
It's coming, man. It's coming.
We are going to make a pact that until that day comes, we are going to be unicorns and rainbows on this podcast and ignore the question. There will be no conversation of that actually being a possibility. They will come up with a plan. They will execute the plan. And we will tell COVID-19 to get off my plane.
Okay, so – you know, this is what I just the thought that just popped off my head. Michigan State football was returning a whole bunch of starters from a 10 or 11 win team. I'd be interested to see if Kevin had a different different. I don't know if the opinion would change, but the different disposition or whatever. Because I think, you know, the fact that Michigan State basketball is a very, you know, top, what, 3 program, 5 program, you know? And so that's why you want basketball. Guess what? Nebraska's not going to be good again. I mean, so it's like.
I wanted football back, too, for the record.
I think you want basketball back more.
I mean, if I had to choose between the two, I would obviously pick basketball because we're better. Okay.
Yes.
And I enjoy both sports roughly equally. I'm like pretty much, 99.99% of the Nebraska fan base, right?
Yeah.
I mean, that is a joke, not as a dick, obviously. But
I love the sport. I love the sport of basketball so much more than football, but I am a much bigger college football fan than college basketball fan. Good. That's because there's the NBA, which, by the way, is Damian Lillard is a stud. So, anyways.
Yeah, man, I like college football and I like college basketball. I like watching my Spartans on both both the gridiron and the hardwood. If I had to pick one to give up, it'd obviously be football. But I'm sad. I wanted a football season. I was literally planning to go because I assumed media would be able to go.
Kevin, I don't mean to interrupt, but I think you guys have measured your fandoms for long enough.
True. So is your pre-workout?
I'll be quiet.
Patrick, is your pre-workout?
I think we're hitting into nobody cares. Nobody cares territory. Yeah,
that's probably true.
Yeah. Fair point.
Let's say is your pre-workout running out or
no? I'm still going well.
Oh, you're going well.
I'm still going well. Like, I'm starting to wander. I've played all the guitar licks I can while I press mute. Dun, I'm kind of running out of.
So what was one of the songs? I was trying to think that one of the songs you were playing earlier.
I was mainly just going through riffs. I mean, just riffs and chord progressions. And scales. I was doing just a bunch of chromatic scales and stuff like
I heard
mindful.
Like,
I was literally just
podcast.
Sounds good. Sounds good. I think we're done.
And
all right. Well, thank you guys.
Thank you, everybody. Once again, we appreciate your regular listening ship. Is that a word? We're gonna make it a word if not. Regular listening ship to Bangarangs and Daggers. We will hopefully be back soon with more interesting basketball coverage and other stuff. As always, please subscribe on whatever podcast platform you subscribe to. You'll get John's Post Life Crisis. You'll get Five Heart Podcast. Is the Big Red Comcast actually on ours, or is that on the website? But
no,
they're separate.
That's their own thing.
Okay, yeah, so you won't get that one. You won't get that one, but if you follow coordination.com, obviously you'll see their stuff. And it's good, though Bangs and Dags is better.